I know the time is going, but I'll shorten my message. I've purposefully chosen the text for today in light of our emphasis today on serving around the world. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. I'd like to read 7 verses for you. Actually, 8. Verse 30. They went on from there after having seen the Lord heal a boy with an unclean spirit. They went on from that experience and passed through Galilee. Jesus is with his disciples. And he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing along the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts. May we be more like our Savior. We are so prone to our going our own way, living in our own selfish desires. And so I pray that you might impress upon our minds and hearts this morning the need to look at others and look to serve instead of looking to be served. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I have a question for you this morning. Do you want to be great? Now, you don't have to answer out because that can be a little bit awkward, right? Do you want to be successful? Okay. You may say, "Pastor, that's a trick question." Well, it is, all right? The key is, the real question is, who do you want to be great in the eyes of? Do you want to be great in the eyes of the world or great in the eyes of our God? Do you strive for "well done, guy" or "well done, gal" from your fellow men? Or do you want to hear "well done, good and faithful servant" from your God? Needless to say, greatness is defined very differently by the world and by God. The world says, what? Assert yourself. Promote yourself. Seek to please yourself. Power, position, and possessions are key. Jesus said, humble yourself. Deny yourself. Seek to please God. Sacrifice, selflessness, and service are the key. The world says, go up the ladder of success. What does Jesus say? Go down the ladder to success. The world says, be first and put others last. Jesus says, be last and put others first. With that in mind, let's look at the text before us. The main idea today is this: true greatness is sacrificing our own wants and desires and selflessly serving others. Will you read that with me? Read it with me. True greatness is sacrificing our own wants and desires and selflessly serving others. It is not about being served, but serving. I thank God for the example that Julie set before us today of the thrill of going to another country, of going anywhere and offering a gift. Serving is absolutely fantastic. My years that I had the joy of serving in Hong Kong were fantastic. I miss it. I miss the people that I worshiped with and that I played basketball with and that I bought things in the marketplace from. I don't miss the smells, but I don't miss the moving food on the plates, but I loved going to Hong Kong. I loved the people. I loved serving. It was a joy. There is no greater joy than serving others. The way up is down. In other words, putting ourselves last. But we want to be first, don't we? I want to be first in line. I want to be first chair in the band. I want to come in first in the race. We all want to be first. And so this kind of grates on us a little bit. It goes against everything in our being when the Lord says, seek to be last. Well, let's see what he means as we work our way through this text. Number one, Christ takes his disciples on a retreat. He takes them off by himself to give them instruction, to talk with them, to train them, to disciple them, to help them to see about his desires and his plan for their lives. They had to leave their cell phones behind as they went off on this retreat. I don't know what distractions there were at that day, but they had to go off, and then the Lord had a particular thing in mind. And so he shares some hard truths with them. It tells us that in 31 and 32. The Son of Man, Jesus said, is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he's killed, after 3 days, he will rise. This is not the first time. In chapter 8, we find the Lord was telling them as well, I'm going away. I'm going to give my life. I'm going to lay down my life. But after 3 days, I will rise. We find in chapter 10, again, he's telling them, but they don't get it. The disciples are like probably trying to ignore that because they wanted Jesus to stay with them forever. But that was not his plan. He came to provide salvation, to came to die on the cross. And so he was preparing them for this, reminding them that that's why he came. Well, an argument breaks out among the disciples. And so as the Lord asked them, what are you discussing? Now, do you think the Lord knew what they were discussing? Absolutely. He knew exactly. And so he drove home the point. What are you guys discussing? Well, there were no answers at that point. They kept silent. Why? Because they were embarrassed. They were not talking about his death and what that would mean for them. What were they talking about, class? Who's number one? Who's greatest among us? Why do you think they were talking about this? I have a feeling that that was on the heels of what took place earlier in chapter 9, the transfiguration. The Lord had given a special privilege to Peter, James, and John to go up on the mountainside with the Lord Jesus Christ, and there Jesus was transformed before them. He showed them a glimpse of his glory. And they got to meet Elijah and Moses. Now, that's pretty special, I would say. If I came back and told you about that, you'd think I was kooky, right? And that would be kind of strange if I came and told you I had met with Elijah and Moses. But that was their experience, and they came back. Now, they were told not to share anything, but our tendency is to share things, right? And so I'm wondering if they're walking down this path, sometimes where it may be just room enough for one or two, they're talking about maybe the experience. And some are trying to say, hey, Peter, James, and John, tell us about what you saw. We can't tell you. But you know what? We met Elijah. I wasn't supposed to say that. But all along their way, they're talking about this experience. And probably Peter, James, and John, just being men, were saying, you know what? We're special. And we really had some good times up there, and too bad you guys didn't get in on the fun. And so probably some of them, maybe Judas was saying, but yeah, I get to carry the money. So I'm important. Maybe Simon the Zealot said, you know, I'm the enthusiastic person in the group. I'm what keeps the rah-rah going. But anyway, they were arguing. You don't know exactly about, but they had their own agenda, and they wanted to say who was the greatest among them. No wonder these men were embarrassed. And so we find the second point I make here is that Christ instructs his disciples in verse 35. He pulls them aside, and in Mark 9:35, he sat down, typical of a rabbi who's going to teach his disciples. And he calls the 12 together, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." What a powerful paradox. It is a paradox in the sense that it runs counter to everything that we know. We need to get to the point where we realize that we are not the center of the universe, and the Lord was trying to point that out to them. You are not what it's all about. You are here to serve. You are here out of selflessness. You are here to humble yourself, to forget about yourself, and put others first. But we are always about me. I want things easy. I want to be pampered. I don't like being sick. I don't like when the power goes out. I don't like these things that happen in my life. They interfere with my plans, my desires, my wants. I don't like it, and I want to fight back. But Christ taught them that greatness flows out of humility, selflessness, and servanthood. If you remember nothing from today, remember these three words. There's actually another one, sacrifice, that you'll see in a little bit. Humility, sacrifice, selflessness, servanthood. How our marriages would be different if this was our mentality. Our churches would be different. As people were saying, no, you go first. No, you go first. Maybe we'd never get a line started. But wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? That we put others first to the point where we put ourselves behind. We're no longer promoting self, but we're saying it's all about you. I care about you. The last instead of the first. We see this repeated in Mark chapter 10. In fact, it's interesting. Mark chapter 10 in verses 35 through 45, we're running into the same problem again. In chapter 10, the disciples, James and John, what do they come and ask for? Can we have the privileged right-hand side and left-hand side in glory? Can we have the places of honor, places of promotion? So they hadn't learned the lesson in chapter 9. The Lord had to stress again in Mark 10, beginning with verse 42, Jesus called them to himself, and he's probably looking at them and saying, guys, you don't get it. You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. Guys, you're leaders, but think of yourselves as servants. It should not be like that where you lord it over others, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Philippians 2 restates this truth. And it's a powerful passage. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Drop down to verse 5 on the screen. Have this mind in you or among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And it goes on, and took on the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. And so in this context, and in his life and ministry, Christ gives illustrations of this, of true greatness. They show sacrifice, selflessness, and service. What are they, class? Sacrifice, selflessness, and service. The next one, the illustration in the text, in the context before, he's trying to explain to his disciples. He's saying, men, I'm going to die. He is demonstrating in his own life this sacrifice that is necessary. And he says, guys, you're not above your Lord. and Savior. You need to be willing to sacrifice, to lay down your life for others. Second, we see the child illustrated. I think this is a picture of selflessness. He chooses the child because in that time period, children had little public status. They were usually ignored and lowly. In fact, it kind of is like from what Julie shared earlier in Togo. They're kind of expendable, throwaway kids. That's the same way in the Comptons. They're dealing with orphans. And they gather these orphans, these unloved children, and they pour love into them. But you know what? When you pour love into these children, many of them unwanted, just know they're not going to help you in your status to be popular. They're not going to help you in your wealth because they can't give you anything oftentimes in return except joy. Great joy as you see them come to know Christ. But they can't help enhance your status, your position in society. But isn't that what it's all about in our service? Serving others with a selfless mentality, not expecting anything in return. In fact, in James chapter 1, you'll see the tie-in here. In James chapter 1, verse 27, it says this, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." What is the measure of true religion according to this verse? It's the idea of ministering or serving people who have needs, who can't enhance your place in society. You give your time, your effort to people like orphans and widows. That's true greatness. Someone who is giving and giving and giving again with no thought of what they can get in return. And then this picture is not from this particular passage, but from John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, in verses 3 through 5, it says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going back to God, He rose from supper, and He laid aside His outer garments, and taking a towel, He tied it around His waist, and He poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around them." There is probably no greater demonstration of humility than washing someone's feet. Usually a servant did that. Usually someone who was not of any prominence did that in these homes. But the Lord, their Lord, got down and washed their feet. In verse 12 says this, "When He had washed their feet and put on their outer garments and resumed His place, He said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you're right, so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Well, let's bring this down to a conclusion. What does it mean to be great? It means sacrifice. Sacrifice of your own wants and desires. Service. Not being served, but serving others. And selflessness. I've put it in the wrong order, but you know what I mean, all right? Serving when you can't get anything in return. Not worrying about the success of others. Who's the greatest at New Life Baptist Church this morning? The worship team members? The Sunday school teachers? Life group leaders? No. The greatest person in this church is the person who serves others selflessly. The greatest person in this church is the person who's willing to be last, not first. The greatest person is in this church is the person who seeks to serve those who desire to give or can't give anything back in return. Does that describe you this morning? If not, then we have our work cut out for us. I'd like to give you an assignment. This week, starting now, look for people that you can serve. Maybe it's your neighbor struggling to carry a box into their home and you run over and help them. Maybe it's a coworker who's going through a problem and you can be there for them. I don't know what it may be, but look for opportunities. In Ephesians, it talks about buying up opportunities, taking advantage of opportunities to serve others. Serve people without the desire to be recognized. Not so your name could be on a bulletin board somewhere, but serve. Make it your habit to start serving others. We have opportunities around here. All kinds of opportunities. Sunday school classes, children's church, nursery. What a great opportunity for learning humility. This last week, I've learned a lot about what it's like being a mom. I'm not a very good mom. I mean, I change diapers, wet ones, dirty ones and stuff. I don't like it, but I mean, I do it. I've had the opportunity this week of being a servant to my wife and to my boy. The Lord must feel like I haven't got my act together yet. And so I've got opportunities. He's given me 30 years with Jason, but hopefully he'll give me 30 more years with Jason, to serve him, to love on him, expecting nothing in return, except maybe a smile, a little laughter. I'm learning what it is about humility and learning to serve. I've got a long ways to go because I want to take care of me. I want to be bored sometimes. I don't run into that problem. You know, do you get bored sometimes? Man, I'd love to be bored sometimes. But you know what? Serving is a joy, though. There's no greater joy than serving others. I've got three more slides. When we serve others, we look the most like Jesus. Have this mind in you. Determine in your mind. Have this mind that you serve others, and you're just like Jesus. Here's a quote by John Hagee. The measure of a man's greatness is not the number of servants he has, but the number of people he serves. And then the last slide. Serve your way to greatness. May God help us to leave this place determining we want to make a difference in other people's lives, not seeking to have our name in lights. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly count it a joy to serve You. Thank You for the privilege to think that You have saved us, You have called us to serve. And Father, we couldn't ask for anything better than that. Thank You for the model that Jesus Christ provided for us. He didn't just come and talk about it in theory, but He came and washed the disciples' feet. He came and served the beggars, reached out to them, loved on them, cared for them. And Father, He demonstrated sacrifice, selflessness, and service. And so, Father, I pray that that might be the goal of our lives, that we be more like our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.